25. Here are some of the things that could have happened on Wednesday, and I would not have noticed. The school could have burned down. Ms. Wyman could have smiled a real smile. The school could have been buried in a mudslide. Skeezy could have used a napkin. The school could have been overtaken by giant flying ants. Kelsey could have told me she likes me. Well, okay. I would have noticed that last one. But you know how it is when you have to do something really scary? Like go to the dentist to have all your teeth painfully and slowly extracted, one by one? Which, of course, is never going to happen. But you always think there's the outside chance it might. Or, as in my case, get up in front of the entire school and give a speech. Not just a speech, mind you, but a speech that when translated into basic middle schoolese, boils down to ready, aim, laugh. If you know what I am talking about, then you will know that it is impossible to think about anything else until you are on the other side of whatever your particular brand of doom is. From the time I leave Addie's house Tuesday night until 11 in the a.m. on Thursday, all that occupies my mind is the mess I have gotten myself into by agreeing to give this speech. Fine, the no-name party is my idea, along with just about everything that goes with it. But does that mean I have to submit myself to ridicule? And, worse, the loss of my one true love? Not that Kelsey knows yet that she is my one true love, but after I speak, she will undoubtedly shudder at the mere thought that it might ever have happened. When I get home Tuesday night, I tell my dad what transpired at Addie's house, expecting him to say, "I'm not letting you get caught up in any left-wing radical nutcase politics. I'm calling Addie's parents right now and putting a stop to this nonsense." But he does not say this. He says,
"Good for you, Skip."
And, "Hold on to your seatbelts.
I'm taking off work Thursday morning so I can come hear you."
I go, "But Dad..." He goes,
"And I've been thinking about it, and I will chaperone that dance Friday night, son. Who should I call?"
Wonderful. My father will now be on hand to witness my two greatest moments of humiliation in a life that has been just building up to them. You may wonder why I think the dance will also be humiliating. Picture this. I will be trying to get Kelsey to dance with me, but she will only want to dance with Joe. Joe will want to dance with Colin, which is not going to happen for a multitude of reasons, including the fact that Colin will be dancing with Addie, unless Skeezy's theory is right, in which case, Addie will be dancing with nobody. So Kelsey will ask Joe to dance, and he will say yes, on account of Joe being a dancing fool. So there I will be, standing on the sidelines with my shirt tucked in and a styrofoam cup of punch in my hand, with Skeezy on one side of me, muttering how stupid all of this is, and why don't they play some good music, meaning Elvis, and Addie, maybe, on the other side of me, slumping because she doesn't feel good about herself. And now, on top of everything else, my dad will be there, handing out cookies, and coming over every 15 minutes to say,
"Come on, Skip, ask somebody to dance. Why don't you and Addie get out there and show them how to do it? What do you say?"
What I say is, "Help!" Of course, what I say to my dad when he tells me all this on Tuesday night is, "Great, Dad," because, do not forget, I was the one who asked him to chaperone in the first place, and, as far as the speech goes, I cannot even remember the last time I gave him a reason to want to come to school and see me do anything. So how can I say no? So that is Tuesday night. As for Wednesday, one big blur. Proof that Kelsey does not come up and tell me she likes me.